Okay, Friday, June 9th, 2017, the 15th, the Ides of Sivan. Okay, so we are covering the first Perek Lamed, which covers the end of Tzaveh and the beginning of Parshas Ki Tisa. And there's one theme that seems that could continue on, it cuts itself throughout the parak, and that is the theme of Achdus. So there's a beautiful chapter in Rav Baruch Simon Sefer, where he discusses how this theme, he points out a few examples of this theme, and let's see what he says. So in the beginning of Parshas Ki Tisa, says Ki Tisa, right, that you will count all B'nai Israel. What is the purpose? What happens to all of those coins? So those coins then get used for the benefit of Klai Yisrael. Those are what makes up the Korbani Tzibur, the community korbanos that are then given in, that are then offered and the Mizbeach. So there is a Rashi in the beginning of Vayikra that Rashi tells us Takrivu is Kor, the very very beginning of Parshas Vayikra. So what does it say there? Vayikra Moshe Vayidbar Hashem Olamayid Lemor. Damel Bnei Yisrael Marta Yalem Adam Ki Akriv Mikem Korban La Hashem Minay Bam Minasan Takriv Es Korban Chem. That a person who will bring from amongst you a korban to Hashem. So what is mean Takrivu Es Korban Chem? What is that plural? So Rashi there spells out that where is it? Takivus korban chem lami shehi ban nidavas tzibur hi olas kayitz hamizbeach ba min hamosros. What is that? Oh, sorry. Takrivu. Takrivu means malamid sheshnayim misnadvim ola b'shutfas. That two people, that we learn out from the word takrivu, that two people can offer an ola together. That one person can offer a korban, two people can offer a korban together. 3, 5, 10, and even 10,000 people could come together and offer a korban together. But then he also adds in takrivu as korban chem. What is korban chem? Malamid shehi ban nidvas tzibur hi olas kayitz. That you need a nedava from the tzibur, from the congregation, in order to offer an olas kayitz hamizbeach, which comes from the mosros. What is the olas kayitz? The summer ola. What is that? So the summer ola. I'm trying to think of a joke, but I couldn't think of one. It's ripe for a joke. But the summer ola was for the following reason: that the korbanos had to be, well, not had to be, but it was considered appropriate for the mizbeach to have korbanos being offered on it at all times. So from morning until evening, so you would have the korban tzibur, shal shachris, the korban tamid, shal shachris in the morning, and the korban tamid shal bein arbayim in the afternoon. And that was considered the beginning and end of the day. What was done in the middle of those, between those two korbanos? So any korban that was brought by a person, that's when the Beis HaMikdash was open for business, in terms of accepting its korbanos. So the problem was, is that the Kohen Union demanded that all korbanos cease at 5 o'clock. The workday's got to end at 5 o'clock. So during the winter, that's no problem, but I'm making that part up. But during the summer, it is a bit of a problem because it's still daylight. You can't bring the Korban Bein Harbayim for another couple of hours. So what did they do during those couple of hours? So they would offer olas. They had extra olas around that would be offered in order to make sure that the Mizbeach stayed operational during those times. So who paid for those? So those came from the extra coins, from extra maxis shekel money. But he's pointing out that there is a distinction between a korban shutfus versus a korban tzibur. Shutfus means partners. So a korban of partners is different than a korban of a tzibur. What are those? What is that distinction? So a tzibur means that all of Klai Yisrael is providing that money, as opposed to shutfus, which means that a couple of people are providing that money. Still going. Okay, good. So we see that there's a special mila for the tzibur. There's no.
Where's that Tanakh?
So there is a pasuk towards the very beginning of Tehillim, who an illustrated Tanakh. Yes. And even color, yeah. So in the beginning of Tehillim, so it has the following pesukim. So Mizmor David, this is Paragimel in Tehillim. that miserable David Varchom is Avshalom Beno, when he ran away from Avshalom. Okay, Hashem Marabut Sarai. I mean, think about it. This is when David is running away from Avshalom, who is rebelling against him. So this is not David in a wonderful state. Hashem Marabut Sarai or Rabim Kamim Alai. How much trouble do I have? So many people are rising against me. Rabim Omrim Lamafshi Ein Yeshua Si Lo Ve'elukim Sela. Many there say that there is no help that is coming to come from Hashem. Be'ata Hashem Agin Badi Kvodi Marim Roshi. But you, Hashem, are going to come and protect me, Kvodi, and honor, and you're going to be my glory, Kvodi, my glory, Umeirim Roshi, and the one who uplifts, my head. So the Medrash comments on this pasuk, uses this pasuk to say that this is like the that this is what the Umas Olam say, that the non-Jews say, right, Rabim Elu Omrim Ha'olam Shekasa Behem, Havi Hamon Amim Rabim, She'omrim Liyisrael, Uma Sheshama B'Sinai Anochi, Hashem Lokacha, Lo Yelacha Lukim Achirim. That when the non-Jews come and say, this nation that came and said Hashem is our God, I mean, that heard the beginning of Aseres HaDibros, they also, and that you shouldn't have another God, at the end of 40 days, what happens? We're going to have that soon in our parak. They had the Chet HaEgel. So what is going to save them? So Yesh Lo Tishua, how does they then get saved? So the only saving that can come because of that sin can come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming, giving them their protection. And when does that happen? So the Medrash suggests that it would only be Kvodim Rishim Rishim Nosim Lanu Haramas Rosh Hainu Hiskachus Beshorish Neshamas Yisrael. That the only way is if I get lifted up. What is the I? How is I talked about in the context of all of Klal Yisrael? So only when B'nai Yisrael could be considered as one. So how will B'nai Yisrael be saved from all of their sins? Only when one binds himself together with the rest of Klal Yisrael, which is part of the goal of Kitzisa. When all B'nai Yisrael gets counted and they're given their Machzeh Shekel, so that Machzeh Shekel binds them together in order to offer A, their Korbanos together, and B, their, you know, they're all going to be together, all going to be considered combined as one specific unit. So then he quotes an interesting idea from the Noam Elimelech. Noam Elimelech, you know who the Noam Elimelech was? Elimelech Milashensk. You can go, you know the Avram Fried song, Adaraba, Sein Bili, Tein Bili Beinu. No, you don't know. He composed that, and his kever is still available now in Poland. You can go visit in the town called Leshensk. It's one of these towns where they're, and now there's like a kola there, or I don't know if it's a kola, but they're trying to build a shul and build a kvos. It's one of these like towns in the middle of Eastern Europe that some tzaddik is buried at, and now we shall go and invest tons of money in order to make sure they're Jews there all the time. But anyways, he's considered a chash of a person. The story with him is that if you have his... Actually, I heard two stories, cute stories about the Sefer Noam Elimelech. One is that he was giving his sichot, and they were encouraging him, you should write these up. And he said, "What? I'm going to write these up. People."
Oh my God! Take it out. Take it out. Take it out.
So when Rav Elimelech Milashensk was suggested that he should write up his svarim, his sichot, his talks into a book, he said something along the lines of, "What? People need another parsha book to fall asleep on Friday nights?" Like, no, we need all that, whatever. So they got it. And the other story about it is that it's considered a simon to have it in a room of a woman that is in labor. That when a woman gives birth, she should have a Noam Elimelech in the room. I have not gone with this, don't worry. But that is, and there is, if one can track it down, if you can get an original printing, a Noam Elimelech, they go for lots and lots of money. Go check it up on eBay. And,
what is it?
Noam Elimelech. It's a Sefer. It's a Sefer in Chumash.
Noam
Elimelech. The strength of Elimelech. Elimelech Milizhensk.
Was he one of the students of Balshantel?
He was, I think, third generation.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I do
remember. And I think you get a first edition Noam Elimelech, you get a page of it. That's what people do. They get a page of it in order to use this. All right. Anyways, so he has the following point in Noam Elimelech where he says, the very first pasuk in Devarim says, these are the things that Moshe said to all of Yisrael. Now what is the beginning? The very beginning of Devarim then lists the faults of B'nai Yisrael. Hashem, Moshe said this to all B'nai Yisrael, and he says, you have to realize these are the not such great things that happened over the course of our time in the desert. So kiyatam lama shanu om kodem kol avodusin v'tfilasin l'shem yichud. Similarly, when we say l'shem yichud before tfilos, which we often don't, but in the Hasidic world where they say l'shem yichud before, they say b'shem kol Yisrael, the name of all Yisrael. Why do they do that? Because there is no individual that would be able to get all of these zechuyos. Similarly, there is no individual that should be able to gain an atonement. It is only when people come together and say, I'm part of Klal Yisrael, that's when they're able to gain an atonement. And that is perhaps also the explanation of how Yom Kippur actually works, at least how Yom Kippur worked during the time of the during the time when the Beis HaMikdash stood. Because that pasuk tells us in Vayikra, V'chiper Aaron al kornosav achas bashana midam katasa kiparim achas bashana yichiper alav l'doros yichem. But Aaron will gain our atonement on the karnosav, on the corns of the animal, once a year. Once a year, we're going to get a kapara for all the generations. So why does it say once a year or twice? So he says, suggests, achas bashana means once a year this would happen. And then achas, the other idea of achas is that if we combine as one, so then we'll be able to gain our atonement. And that is probably how the whole idea of tshuva actually worked during the time when there was a Seir Lazazel. But if we think about, I think I make this point on Yom Kippur often in Shul, that what was Yom Kippur for Larry from Shevet Naphtali? Right? So Larry from Shevet Naphtali, how did he spend Yom Kippur? What did he do over the course of Yom Kippur? Well, he didn't eat. Right? He didn't drink. He didn't wear leather shoes. Right? So all the five he knew he didn't do. But what did he do? Did he go to shul? During time of the Beis HaMikdash. Did he go to shul? Not necessarily. Right? Might not have gone to shul. Did he go to the Beis HaMikdash? We do understand that there were many people at the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, but there was no obligation to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So what was Larry doing? And how did he gain his kapara? So he gained his kapara, we assume, through this Seir Mishtaleach. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, Seir Mishtaleach lefishuhu kapara l'chol Yisrael, Kohen Gadol misfadlav. Plus it's the kapara for all of the Jews, so the Kohen Gadol would do kaparos on it. Seir Mishtaleach mechapir akol averos, shevetorah akolos vachamuros, bein sharev bezadom, bein sharev bishgaga, right, that it would atone for all of his sins, whether strict or not strict, whether he did purposely or not purposely, whether he knew about it, didn't know about it, all of it gets a kapara by the way of Seir Mishtaleach, v'usha asa tshuva, and as long as he does tshuva. Val im lo asa tshuva, ein esir mechapir lo ela al hakalos. But if he didn't do tshuvas, it only provides for the kalos. Okay, and then what are kalos and what are chamurus? The Rambam continues, says, chamurus are those things which you would be chayiv misas based in more karis, right? And the other things are considered kalos. So pretty much, I mean, unless one did a pretty bad sin, generally, now, it only works for ben adam lechavero, ben adam makom, if ben adam lechavero, you still might have to ask around, but you're still covered by a significant amount just by dint of the fact that the Kohen brought, did a vidui on this year Mishtaleach, sent it off a cliff someplace, and you're good for the next coming year. So how does that work? How does that work? Why should that be? Especially nowadays, you know, the rabbi gets up on every year on Yom Kippur and tries to encourage everybody, you know, you all have to do something, everybody has to participate, etc. How is everybody participating in this year Mishtaleach? It seems like there's two guys involved. There's the Kohen Gadol, and then there's the guy who walked it out 10 mil in order to throw it off the cliff. So how does this year Mishtaleach work? So presumably the answer probably is that you have to assume a part of the tzibur. That if you're assuming a part of the tzibur, the person says, I want to be part of that, so then they're involved. That's the person's avod. The person's avod is not necessarily vidui on their sins, as much as it's connecting with the rest of Klal Yisrael, which is the goal of Yom Kippur. And in fact, the Rabbeinu, the Baruch Sha'amar, the Sefer on Pirkei Avos by Rav Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tamimus, he wrote a sefer on Pirkei Avos. We used it for some of our shirim recently in Pirkei Avos and Shul. So he, in the fifth perek, Yes, in the fifth parak, so it gives you the lists. So one of the lists are all the miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of those miracles that are mentioned there is that when Bnei Yisrael, that everybody would be crowded in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, but when they bowed down, there was enough room for everybody to lay down. So suggests the Baruch Shamar, what does it mean that there was enough room for everybody to lay down? So not so much that the walls expanded, as much as that nobody complained about not having enough room. That they were able to make, everybody was able to make themselves enough room. Which, the truth is, that's a very nice pshat, that, but the problem is it doesn't really fit into the Mishnah. So the Mishnah talks about a miracle, and then that wouldn't be considered a miracle then. But anyways, that was his point. The point is that we all have to be able to get along together in order to be able to make that work, and that perhaps is the theme of Yom Kippur, the achdus, the connections of Klal Yisrael. Another... Right, and that perhaps leads one along to another theme of the parak. The theme of the parak, both at the end of Tetzaveh, as well as later on in this parak, is the bringing of the ketores. So, famously, the ketores contained within it 11 ingredients. Right, one of those ingredients was the chelbina. The chelbina was known as as a not good smelling spice, but yet it had to be part of it anyways. And as they point out, that we see the chelbina had to be part of it because everybody, all it had to include all of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael had to be represented within the ketores. So even the ones that aren't necessarily smelling so good. So there is a story that I once heard that they went to the Chassam Sofer and said, the Chassam Sofer was a big fighter against the reform. He says, why are you such a big fighter? Don't you know that Bnei Yisrael has to include even the chelbina? We have to include even those that smell good. He says, yes, it's true. However, if you'll notice, there are 11 ingredients. One of them is the chelbina. You'll still get 10. You need 10 without the chelbina, though. You still need a minion without it, though. But anyways, so there is an interesting Gemara in Maseches Zvachim. Maseches Zvachim, it comments, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shnei Dvarim lo matzinu lehem kapara bikarbanos, umatzinu lo kapara b'makom acher. That there were 10 things that did not have its kapara from the korbanos themselves, but they had to get their kapara in other ways. What were those two things? Number one, shvichus damim, and number two is lashon hara, murder and lashon hara. So where did they get their kapara from then? So the shvichus damim egla rufa. The shvichus damim got its kapara via the egla rufa, the ceremony that takes place that's described in Parsha Shoftim, where they would gather everybody together and they would kill this calf and the two, if someone was found dead, right, if someone was found dead outside of a city and they didn't want to take responsibility, they don't know who did it, so they did the ceremony in order to bring awareness of this killing. So, and maybe we'd be able to find the answer in both sides. The closest city would say, we didn't have anything to do with this.
Yosef tells his brothers to go to see.
Yes, it's true. That's in tomorrow.
He was killed by them.
The Egla Ruya. Yeah, okay. It's in tomorrow afternoon's Shir at Shul. Yeah. If you'd like to come, you're more than welcome.
What time?
Between Mincha and Ma'arif.
Which is now what time?
Mincha's, I think, 8:10.
Okay,
we'll be referring to the Egla Rufa tomorrow. Anyways, actually that was the very first drasha I gave in Beth Medrash. I'm sure Len remembers.
Oh, yeah.
The tryout Shabbos was Parsha Shoftim. I spoke about the Egla Rufa, right? Do you remember?
I do.
There you go. Okay. So what is it? So that Megla Rufa, Lashon Hara. So how did the Egla Rufa, that its kapara came via the, sorry, murder came via the Egla Rufa, and Lashon Hara came from the Ketores. So why was that? So the Tani Rabbi Chananya, Menayin L'Ketores Shemekaparis, how do we know that the Ketores is what is causes gives a Kapara? Because the Pasuk tells us in Bamidbar, Vaitenes HaKetores V'Chaper Ala'ab, that they brought the Ketores and it got Kapara for the nation. V'Tani Devei Rabbi Yisrael, Lama Ketores M'Chaperes Al-Lashon Hara, Yavo Davar Shebichashai V'Chaper Al-Maisa Chashai. Because they would come something that is done in private, and that should offer a kapara, that should offer an atonement for a sin that is done in private. What does it mean that Ketores was done in private? So the halacha actually was that when the Ketores was brought in the Kodesh, no one else was allowed to be in the Kodesh. Even whether it was the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen that was offering it, no one else was allowed to do it. The Kohen Gadol had to be there. It wasn't necessarily the Kohen Gadol that brought it, but whoever was the Kohen that was bringing it had to be alone in that room. Be'alkin haruya haya lechaper aloshen hara shenadabrim osa b'chashai. That was also spoken about in quiet. So that was what the Gemara there actually asks. The Gemara is actually says that there's another that this was actually brought as a question in the Gemara. Because the Gemara in the previous section talks about different sins that were brought in atonement by the different begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and it comments that the me'il of the Kohen Gadol, the robe of the Kohen Gadol, brought a kapara for lashon hara there. Why? Because the me'il had bells on the bottom that rang. So just as the ringing of the bell should be a kapar for the people that speak bad things about other people. So I'm going to raise the question. So which one is it? Is it the meal or is it the katharis? It says, well, both. The meal is for things that were said badly about other people in public, and the katharis was about things that were said badly about other people in private. Right? So that's what the Gemara makes that comment. So what does that have to do with achdus? So he quotes from here the Rav Simcha Lacks, who is the Bostoner Rebbe of Flappish. Got that? Boston Rebbe of Flappish. Shabir Inyan Baser, that he has the following idea. Because Lashon Hara causes the separation of people, because Lashon Hara people end up not liking one another, and Yekatoris is what brings people together. Yekatoris kolelis biyachad is kol Yisrael, as the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, kol tanis she'imba mifposhe Yisrael inan talis, sh'rei chelbana recha ra'oman. The Gemara itself tells us that any fast day that doesn't include the poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Israel, is not really a fast day because the chelbana had to be included in the ketores, which is an explanation, by the way, of the beginning of Yom Kippur. What do we say in the beginning of Kol Nidre, even before Kol Nidre? What do we say? Al das ha-makom ve'al das ha-kal. B'shiva shel ma'ala, b'shiva shel mata, anu matirim. We permit ourselves to daven with those that are the sinners. Why is that such an important thing? So it's based on this Gemara, right? But beyond this Gemara, what is the Gemara coming to tell us? So I'll have to say that another time. And by the way, that is one other thought one other sin that was caused by this problem. It says the Drashus Haran. And we'll get to this, I guess, in about a year and a half, 2 years, when we get to the sin of Moshe by Mei Meriva, by Moshe hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. That already is prejudging the situation. What exactly is it that Moshe did wrong there? So all the Rishonim take a stab at it, which tells you that it's not clear what Moshe did wrong there, right? But Rashi,
yeah, disagreeing for sure.
Yes, Rashi's idea is that it is a. It is a missed opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. I think the Ramban says that it was because Moshe took the credit, I think. Moshe said me instead of Hashem. I think that was it. I don't remember. The Rambam says that he called Bnei Yisrael Hamorim. He said, Shimuna Hamorim. That was the chait of Moshe. That Moshe called Bnei Yisrael wicked ones or complainers, rebels. Bitter ones, rebels. Right? Listen.
They started before him. That's when he had to. When he was
I understand, but that was Moshe's sin. That at that point, the people are complaining about water, and Moshe calls them rebels. So there is a line in the Drashus Haran. The Ran, Meir Nisim wrote that there's a book out, I think it has 11 Drashus in it. He must have had very kind Balabatim, because they are very, very long. And apparently the Balabatim had no problem with him speaking for such a long time on Shabbos. Anyways, so he writes in it, L'chol hatzibur b'chlali, so he explains Shimuna Hamorim, he explains the sin. The sin was that Moshe said, listen, evil ones, Tayu shekar l'chol hatzibur b'chlalios b'torah b'guna. It's not just like the Rambam said. The Rambam said he called Bnei Yisrael Morim. The Ran adds in that he called them as a tzibur Morim, embattled ones or embittered ones. And it's one thing to say a bunch of you are rebelling. But it's only that you call Bnei Yisrael as a klal rebellious ones, that's a problem. You can talk about the individuals having problems, but you can't accuse the klal as having that issue. And that was the problem that the Ran came up against. That was the problem that Moshe came up against, that he disparaged all of Klal Yisrael together.
Well, what I was talking about is when Moshe was at the burning bush, and he said about, and then he turns, he has leprosy on his hand. I mean, the weight turns away.
Mm-hmm.
Am I clear?
What about it?
He disparaged the Jews at that point.
Oh, that's why he got sarassed at that point. Okay.
And now here he does it again. I mean, this is too. The only question we have, Eliyahu Hanavi at the time of Mount Hor. Now, Carmel is a bed, and then that's why Eliyahu has to go all the time.
Yeah. And then he gives him one more pshat from the Meshech Chachma. Beautiful pshat, although it's not such a... It's not a very nice subject. And this is the beginning of Yeshaya, the very first parak of Yeshaya. When do we read the parak of Yeshaya? Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos. That's Parshas Chazon. That's Haftor of Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. We read that. And that is a very famous parak. It speaks there about that Hashem says, I don't want your korbanos, I don't want this, if you're not treating people properly. That's where the conclusion is with B'tzion Nefesh Yipadeh. That's the conclusion. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, that Tzion will be redeemed by mishpat, by fairness, by when you reinstitute fairness and when you take care of the widows and the orphans, when everybody is taken care of appropriately, that's when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. So in the context of that parak, of that, it says, L'susifu, this is the first parak of Yeshaya. Hashem says, L'susifu hevi minchas shav ketoris to'evahilo. Don't bring me your bland minchas. Don't bring me your worthless minchas. How do we translate here? You shall not continue to bring worthless meal offerings and ketores toeva, an incense of abomination, or toeva hilo. Your incense is abomination to me. Chush v'shabbos kro mikro la'uchal avanoetza. Right? I don't want your minchas and I don't want your ketoreses. So what is it specifically about those two things that are suggested by Yeshaya as being things that he don't want, or as Hashem, you know, Yeshaya speaking on behalf of Hashem, saying he doesn't want? He says, because Meshech Chachma explains that there's a korban mincha cannot be brought b'shutvas. A korban mincha is only brought as an individual, or it's brought as a tzibur. Right? What is an example of korban mincha brought as a tzibur? Korban omer and the korban shtei alechem. Right? That was just brought on Shavuos, the shtei alechem. Those are korban. So the mincha could only be brought as a tzibur, and same thing. And so the ketores represents the idea of the entire tzibur. He says, I don't want your worthless minchas, I don't want your korbanos, I don't want your ketoreses. What was the problem? Part of the problem was achdus of Klai Yisrael, the connectivity of Klai Yisrael, recognizing each other as a tzibur. So he's saying, if you're not going to get the message of the korban tzibur, and if you're not going to understand the message of the ketores, so I don't want it from you. I don't need to. I don't want those korbanos from you. And that's perhaps why those two specific korbanos are chosen out for Hashem's deflection. Hashem says, I don't want them if you're not going to be able to get the message of them and be able to treat everybody appropriately as we're supposed to do as a tzibor, as a congregation, and that represents achdus, represents connectivity. Okay, I guess we're going to stop here. Have a good Shabbos, and perhaps you can bring some of your brothers to first Seder in the future.
So, interesting that the act of maybe counting each one individually.
Oh, good word.
Then turn the
uh-huh. Good gesagt.
Well, it goes a little off.
It's through that. So each one contributing just to offer.
Can you get Josh's cell number?
Yes. Well, thank you.